Hello and welcome to episode 80 of Slaytanic Vercast. I'm Mo from France, and to my west, broadcasting live from Donald Trump's financial advisor's office, it's Dr. Lee Crescent. How you doing, Doc?
I'm fine. I'm having a lovely time.
You are.
I enjoy watching an evil person being put through hell.
And there's more hell to come, hopefully.
This man, at the moment, he is the worst he's doing to himself is burning his forearms with candles. And they're not even very black.
He just won't stop speaking, will he? He just kind of keeps digging himself further and further in.
That's right.
Yeah. Fascinating soul. But what can you see around you? What's going on?
Well, for a present, and he may discover it at some point during the next several days, I've left him a rotating anal a rotating anal masturbator.
Yes. Good. I kind of thought you were going to go down the old trope where you kind of hide a salmon down the back of the sofa or something like that.
Oh, God, no, I wanted to have more pleasure than that.
What's been going on in my life, Doc? A little bit of bad news, I suppose. Well, it's good and bad in a way, Doc, to tell you the truth. We spoke off mic about the fact that I've unfortunately had like three seizures over the weekend. Now I'm getting pretty convinced that this is alcohol related. So I'm now on day four booze free, and I think I'm going to stick with it, Doc, because I'm feeling better and better and better as each day goes. The only tricky bit is I feel tired as fuck, and I suspect that is a couple of things: alcohol withdrawal, you know, a bit of the old very very mild case of the DTs because I'm getting the shakes, and also the fact that, you know, I've also quit smoking. I'm on the vape, so you've kind of got this double whammy where I'm just kind of cleaning myself up, going a bit straight edge. Kind of the damage that you've been doing to your internals is your body's trying to rectify. And of course, that burns a huge amount of energy, doesn't it? So it makes you knackered.
Yes.
So I think that's what's happening there. But hopefully, you know, give it a week or two and I'll be, you know, I'm going to be back to fighting form. My plan, Doc, you know, because I think I've already mentioned on the show, there's a beautiful young lady in my life. And so, you know, I want to turn myself into a lean, mean, loving machine, Doc. That's the fucking idea. What do you think about that?
It's an excellent idea. Yeah. And please remember that withdrawing from cigarettes is difficult. And if it means you merely reduce the cigarettes you're smoking by one per 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and please don't hesitate to have some cigarettes in your house 24 hours a day.
Yep.
So that if you wake up and you're aware of the fact that what you could do with doing is smoking a cigarette, then for God's sake, smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But at the moment, the vapes are sufficing. You know, so I'm not kicking nicotine. It's the tobacco I want to get rid of.
And then
gradually wean myself off the fags, and then gradually wean off the vapes altogether. Basically, that's the plan.
I can't remember. Do you smoke bought cigarettes or do you make your own?
I do rollies normally.
Yeah. My advice to anyone would be switch to rollies that you make yourself before you try and quit smoking.
Yeah, because I know they're not good for you, but they're better for you than straights, aren't they? Basically.
And they're easier to quit.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Yeah. The trickiest thing, because I'm out of weed as well now. That's the tricky one, because I'm not planning to buy any anytime soon. But that's the real tricky one, Doc. Because here's the thing: I don't know how the fuck anyone sleeps without smoking weed. But you know, that's just me. You know. Let's have a look. What we got? No video game update still, Doc. Because I tell you the truth, I'm not really playing anything at the moment. Because you know. As you can imagine, I've got other shit going on, which is kind of a good thing in a way. Chow time, motherfucker. We've only got one. Now, last week, I think it was last week, I was banging on about this Robert Fripp video, Where you got this guy playing the war bass.
Yeah.
I've looked into it. I still can't find the video, frustratingly, and I've done kind of a deep dive on YouTube, so whether it's gone or not.
That band.
No, I'm wrong. No, Doc, this is the alcohol withdrawal. My memory's playing tricks. I found it this morning. I'd written it up that I hadn't, but actually I have. So there's two corrections, really. On that video, the guy is not playing a war bass. He's playing what's called a war guitar. Let me tell you, Doc, this thing looks magnificent. The neck is... Are you familiar with it, Doc?
I made a cheap, self-made version.
Oh, brilliant. It.
It was in the band which I had at the same time as the band that you and I had together.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even touched a real one, but I'm very familiar with them.
Yeah, so it's got this massively wide neck. How many strings is on it, Doc? Is it 12?
14, I think.
Oh, fucking hell. So it's like a double seven stringer.
It's a 12 inch plus a bass.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So anybody interested in going and seeing this beautiful bit of kit that we're talking about, who's not seen one before, just go to YouTube and simply type in Robert Fripp String Quartet. The video was posted 7 years ago and it should be your first hit. So there you go. That's what we're on about. What have we been listening to? Well, it's possible that I've played this one before, Doc, because I've got a vague tickle in the back of my cerebellum that I've actually done this before, but I don't give a fuck because it's so brilliant. I'm just going to play it again. It's by the Mighty Carcass. It's called The Granulating Dark Satanic Mills. It's just one of those titles, Doc. And I'm going to play it all the way up to the chorus because the chorus is just so ace. Ready for this?
Yes.
Fucking fire is that, Doc? I'll tell you what.
Well, it makes me smile and it makes me love it because it's the Carcass version of Iron Maiden now, isn't it?
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, people have accused them of selling out, but I'll tell you what, I wish more bands would sell out if they sound that fucking good.
Well, it isn't selling out. It's merely they wanted to do something different. They wanted to make some different music.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell back on something which they at that point, they didn't admit to having loved, but they clearly loved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what more could you say than, Iron Maiden.
Correct, yeah. And there's an interesting story behind this track, because that number that they read out, which it says 6026961, that's the number that he repeats twice. And apparently, I think it's Jeff Walker and Bill Steele went on some raid to like an abattoir, like to do some secret filming. And they just found this like these like mysterious packages with or like boxes and cartons with that number printed on it. And that, you know, it's like they don't really know what was fucking in there. So they just wrote a song about it. And of course that's what the title refers to, the dark granulating satanic mills is an abattoir, in their opinion. There you go. There you go, Doc. I tell you what, Doc, because I'm a bit pressed for time this yep. week, I think we're going to skip the topic, if that's okay, and move on to part two. Don't forget, guys, you can contact us on Twitter at Vercast or an email at slatanicvercast@gmail.com. Let's move on, Doc. Okay, welcome to part two of the show. Here we're going to just play through the track, stop it from time to time, and have a little chin wag. Today's track is, Doc, I've got to say, it's one of the most boring shit titles that Slayer have ever come up with, in my opinion. Love to Hate. Fuck off. I mean, how generic is that?
Well, here's the idea I had. Is it mocking the people who attempt to mock metal?
Well, that's a really good point. I'm sure we're getting into that in more detail. I never thought of that, Doc. I just didn't like the title. So the track is Love to Hate. It's track 6, I believe. Am I right about that? Yeah, it is. It's track 6 from Slayer's 7th album, Diabolos in Musica. And it sounds a bit like this. There's an interesting effect going on there, isn't there, Doc? It sounds a bit like Phase, but there's something else going on as well. Can you spot it? Because I can't.
I can spot Phase now.
But there's something sharp going on as well. You know, something a bit more spiky.
I think it's a version of just some kind of noise that cuts in only under certain circumstances. Maybe over a certain RPM or something.
Yeah, because it doesn't just sound like pure Phase to me. They've never employed this kind of sound before, and I got to tell you, Doc, I'm not sure if I like it. How about you?
It's like all sounds that I hear for the first time. It will need some time to work into me.
Yeah. You've got to allow time to digest it.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the chorus. You love to hate me, but you won't kill me through a sign of resistance to join the world. But I won't cry for you through. You may keep me from the sound of me. Losing all grasp beneath the soul. Better to breathe, driving you insane. I'm not willing by the neck. English women live by the eye. Better off than in the air for death. So, I mean, we're kind of through the opening salvo of it. It's a bit yawn-tastic, isn't it?
I'm going to sound like my auntie now. I can't pick a song out of it.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's muddy as fuck, isn't it?
As you know, I don't expect a tune. I don't expect 4/4. And I enjoy listening to noise. But I can't even pick a tune or a rhythm or a noise. It's confusing me.
Yeah. And that chorus, you love to hate me, you oh God almighty. It really sounds, I think we're back to track two problems here, where it just sounds like they haven't fucking bothered. This to me Just it seems like the definition of filler.
Well, I'm going to quote my auntie again.
Is this a real auntie?
And trust me, this is exactly what my auntie used to say. She goes, "I can hear nothing but
I just don't think it's very
and
good.
just to slap myself back on the face again. I have dozens of songs that sound like which I listen to from choice. They have no rhythm, and no melody, just noise. But it's almost like, fine, I can listen to just noise and I can like it, but it has to be done well.
It has to be quality noise, doesn't it? You have to listen to it.
Yes, it does.
It is odd. It is odd. It's and especially like the, oh no, I suppose I was gonna say, considering the placement, like after coming after like last week's track, which was such a fucking ball blazer, but I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it? You do scatter out your fucking duffs. That does make sense, I suppose.
What I've been prompted to bring up, just at this moment, what's popped into my head, and they don't sound anything similar, but Revolution by Spaceman 3.
Oh yeah.
Is the example I was drawn by my own brain to think of as a way of doing this, but properly. So it does nothing but go for about a year.
Is that the one that's 23 minutes long?
No, that's the one that's 23 minutes long and depressing is called
Oh,
Suicide.
there we go. Very, very good. All right, I'll skip back about 3 seconds. I think it's about to transition into something else. Let's see if it improves, because I fucking hope so. I mean, I suppose something happened there when we got the odd
Yes.
little. We got a few kind of slurry kind of notes, but again, it was so half-hearted, and so I don't know, Doc. I'm just frustrated. This is frustrating me.
I'm going to back up with you. I think this is the song where they've said amongst themselves, we can do this easily and we can do it quickly.
But I tell you what's frustrating. This album, it's either 13 or 14 tracks long. So why do you fucking need to bother?
You don't, and I know this is probably obvious to everyone else listening to this, including you, but I've worked out what the problem is. They didn't bother picking a good riff.
And it's not like them, is it?
Sorry?
And he's not like them.
No, absolutely
no.
not.
No, no. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. That solo, Doc.
Hallerman.
Oh, it's Kerry King. Never mind, Doc. Never mind. But at least there was like a coherent riff underneath it. You know, for me, that's the best part of the track so far, and even that wasn't great.
Well, if I'm going to criticize a track, I want to come up with a good reason why I'm criticising. I don't want to sit here and go, I don't like it.
Yeah, or, exactly.
It's crap.
It's crap.
What the drummer is doing, it doesn't sound like he's in the same room as the other musicians. It seems like our drummer used to do it. He used to take 5 minutes at the beginning of the practice to spaz out and practiced drumming, which he was obviously unable to do in his own home.
Mm-hmm.
What he used to do back in those days reminds me of the drum track that's been recorded here.
Mm-hmm. And then just kind of randomly layered underneath this wall of noise.
I can't remake this point enough. I've heard this kind of thing being done many, many, many occasions that I have liked. I mean, Black Flag, for instance, will have guitar-based drums that sound like they're playing different songs, and but they either test themselves or they do something to it that makes it work.
Yeah.
And I could talk about this for several tens of minutes, and I'm not going to, don't worry.
That'd be a hell of an edit.
I know this is another stupid sounding statement to make, but they're not pulling it off.
No. I think we're on the same page here, Doc. I tell you what, we've got a minute to go. Should we just get this out of the way?
Yeah.
Here we go. That was Love to Hate. Doc, that was god-awful, wasn't it?
I think we're correct. It's a lazy one, isn't it?
Oh, God. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like they practiced it at all. They walked into playing it just the once, knowing they had the skills and the practice together with each other to be able to pull it off or record it. It doesn't sound like there's any human thought gone into it.
Doc, I'm just going to play that last 20 seconds, and you tell me if you think the drums are in time with what the guitars are doing, because I don't think they're fucking are. I don't think it's even in time. Hang on, let me get to it. Let me find it. I'm noise. Those drums are sliding all over the place, aren't they?
It's a Black Flag thing. It's an attempt to do a Black Flag thing.
Well, that makes sense, because Jeff wrote the music, so that does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole point of hearing bits like that during Black Flag is it wants to get you confused.
Mm.
It wants you to feel like you're going mad
or
taking part in a riot or something like that. And what they will do is they will snap back to... they will allow everything to drift away, and then they'll smack it back into the same place.
I get you. That's interesting. But that did not have that effect on me at all. I thought it sounded amateurish and sloppy.
Well, because it doesn't snap back, does it?
It doesn't snap back. It just ends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of missing the point.
Yes.
And that surprises me, given that Jeff wrote it and he's big into his, late 70s, early 80s punk shit.
Yes.
American punk stuff. That, it does surprise me. If what you're saying is correct, and I've got no reason to doubt you, Doc, it surprises me that he missed the point so drastically.
Well, the point is, if you were to ask me, to allow critics of popular music to go like this and say to each other, they can't play, they can't even keep in time. And then you snap your fingers in front of them and go, yes, we can.
Yeah, like a magic trick.
Yes.
Yeah. We've fooled you.
Or if you want to make politics out of it, our time isn't wasted. We're concentrating, and we can prove that we're concentrating. We can prove that we have control over ourselves by getting into time.
Doc, I really didn't like that.
No.
Anything else to add before we move on to the wordage?
I didn't hate it, but I wouldn't ever want to listen. If I had a CD player, I wouldn't ever want to listen to it again.
Oh, it's skippable as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's for sure. Because it's a funny thing, like we've said, I think we said like last week, before we started this album, I thought it was going to be a proper turkey, but it's really surprised us up till this point. I think this is the first one that's like a definitive skipper.
But it's not it's not something I don't like for the reasons that I thought I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, interesting. Let's move on to the words.
Yes.
Welcome to part three of the show, which we call Dark.
Evil speak.
Yeah, will you read through and dissect the lyrics that Tommy's generally screaming in our faces? Doc, I've broken this down into kind of four sections. So you've got verse one, chorus as one, or three sections. Verse one, chorus as one, verse two, and then verse three. I'll take the first bit, you take the second, I'll take the third. How's that sound?
Right then.
So. Enter my mind, can you stop the rage? No one shall mourn or pity my grave. Fighting the world without remorse, searching for blood to never grow old. A personal hell is where I reside. Taunting death sounds, cadavers in pain. Judging my soul, I am not his son. Screaming God's name, I want some more. That's the end of verse one. And the chorus goes, you love to hate me, but you won't kill me. Suicidal surge. Desensitize the world. I mean, there's some absolute drivel in there, but I think there's also some decent verbiage, I suppose, but the structure's garbage. What do you think it's about, Doc?
It's the line, you love to hate me, that makes me think it's about a gay relationship. For obvious reasons.
Why a gay relationship specifically?
Because it's by that group. It's by that band, isn't it? You love to hate me.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know the reference. It's Erasure, isn't it?
Erasure, yeah.
It's Erasure, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Must predate this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Must predate this by a good 10 years.
I'd say 4 or 5 years.
So, I mean, maybe Jeff and Kerry were just massive Erasure fans.
It's a way of making this song more interesting than it actually is, isn't it?
We've got this bit at the beginning. Enter my mind. Can you stop the rage? That's like mind meld supernatural shit, isn't it, Doc?
It feels to me like a parody of this kind of song. Mm-hmm. It's a parody of Slayer.
Mm-hmm. Someone else is trying to write Slayer and just missing the point.
Or trying to write a parody.
Line 4, you got here, searching for blood to never grow old. And that kind of made me think, thoughts vampiric, Doc. What do you think about that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's got a vampire in it. It's got a psycho murderer in it. It's got a person who's obsessed with themselves. It's an NME parody. Of this group, and the things they write songs about,
and you've also because it's multifaceted in terms of like the subject matter they're touching on. Because you've also got towards the end of that verse, judging my soul, I am not his son. You know, so we're not there talking about there. And then you've got the awful ending to verse one. What about this for a couplet? Judging my soul, I'm not his son. Screaming God's name, I want some more. It's like fucking. This, my friend, I think is the greatest piece of Slayer mildness we've yet to see. I want some. Please, sir, can I have some more? What? All of a twist.
Please, sir, I want some more.
What?
Please, sir, I want some more.
More?
It would almost justify itself in Slayer terms if it forced a rhyme with something, exactly. But it doesn't.
No. If it said, judging my soul, I'm not his son-in-law, screaming God's name, I want some more. At least then it fucking rhymes. Yeah. All right.
Just for 5 seconds, let's take it in the atmosphere of Erasure. I want some more. Imagine if Erasure had you. I'm assuming they never did. Maybe they did. But if Erasure said, "I want some more," you know what it was a reference to, then, wouldn't you?
Absolutely correct.
Well, you know what they say, Jeff. What?
I can't hear you.
I said, "Fummers are dead."
But then we've got more vampire stuff, I think. Anyway, the last line in the chorus, we've got this line where it says, "Desensitize the world." Desensitize the world by what? Turning everybody into vampires? What do you think? It's a possibility, isn't it?
Yes.
So what we got? Mental health. We've got, like you say, like a maniacal killer. We've got vampires and we've got religiosity. There you go. Tick, tick, tick.
Gay stuff too.
and some gay panic. Chuck some gay panic in there, Doc. Go on then. Do you want to hit us with the second verse? It's quite long. So we're going from Take what I want, primordial ground, down to coating this shrine of the ungodly cross. Go on then, Doc, hit us with it.
Take what you want, primordial ground, humanity bleeds from inside my veins. Losing all grasp, an evil so old, vengeance it makes no sense. Vengeance it breeds, driving you insane. Exhaust all will, hanging by the neck. Heavens above.
Go on, Doc, you're doing well.
Anguish within, let it blind the eyes. Better off dead is your epitaph. Apathy feeds the human demise. Next verse.
You're struggling, Doc. Do you want me to finish it? It's up to you, man.
No, I'll finish it.
You're going to go. Yeah, give me next 8 lines then, man.
Absolute reign and malevolent mind, conceptions so vile in this bottomless soul, shooting up hate, nothing beats the rush, total total addict corrupting, corrupt, and profane. Force, feed, lies in this chapel of lust, dancing in blood, disciples enslaved, putrefied walls adorned with your flesh, coating this shrine of the ungodly cross.
Nice one, Doc. Brilliant. That's a long old chunk to read out. So what have we got here? Take what I want, primordial ground. I mean, when I think of primordial, anything primordial, that's like the primordial swamp, isn't it? Like the all life kind of came from. Am I right or wrong?
And well, I think what he's referring to here is a primordial ground wouldn't be a property. So taking what you want. Now, is that supposed to be easy? Is that supposed to be evil, or is it supposed to be impressive? If you take over a primordial ground, are you taking over something that's only occupied by animals and is very difficult to take over? Or because there's no army in charge of it, is it difficult?
So would like a piece of wasteland in Cradley Heath be considered like primordial ground?
You stated the correct decision, the correct definition of it earlier on. But I think it is used to refer to a bit of a city that's declined.
Controlled. Yeah, just a bit of wasteland, basically. And then we've got humanity bleeds from inside my veins, losing all grasp, and evil so old. And again, that's vampires, isn't it, Doc?
Yes.
Yeah, seems like it to me. But then we get exhaust all will hanging by the neck. I mean, vampires, to my knowledge, don't kill by hanging and don't die if they're hung, do they?
I think there are some references to Hellraiser just here.
We'll tear your soul apart.
I think taking over... taking over an ancient anarchic part of the world is what the heroes, villains, we're into that discussion again, aren't we? What the heroes, villains of Hellraiser did, isn't it?
The Cenobites.
Yes.
Yeah. Better off dead is your epitaph. So I read that. That's vampires again. So basically, once I sire you, your like unlife is better than your actual life.
In the back of my mind, I'm kind of convinced it's a quote from Hellraiser.
Better off dead is your epitaph. No, I know that, Doc.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've only watched Hellraiser about 50 times, so yeah. So I definitely know that line if it was one.
I will bear to you on that subject.
In fact, the plan when the young lady comes around like this. Afternoon, Doc. I shit you not, is to sit down and we're going to watch fucking Hellraiser. I ain't even joking. Yeah, that's true. Apathy feeds the human demise. So, are we talking like apathy, or are they misusing the word? Because do they mean apathy, or do they mean like non-belief, like atheism almost?
Well, it's a criticism of human beings, which is made within Satanism, isn't it?
I don't know. You tell me, Doc. You know more about stuff than me, because you're more demonic than I am, being a Lovecraftian entity and all.
If you feel that you're being oppressed, it's because you're apathetic.
Oh, I see.
if you weren't apathetic and you felt oppressed, you would do something about it.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, this doesn't this feed back to a conversation we had a few episodes ago where I kind of stated that, you know, it's a good job I'm not a psychopath, because everywhere I walk, I see walking fucking victims.
Yes.
What else have we got? Oh, here's a new reference. Shooting up hate, nothing beats the rough. So now they're chucking some fucking drug grenades in now, aren't they, Doc? What else can shooting up mean?
Well, I think it's... And they might not have planned this at all. We mentioned Spaceman 3 earlier on.
Yeah.
I think the music and I think these lyrics are a very definite reference to drug-influenced music. I think it's all beginning to make sense to me now.
I'm glad it is to you.
The music is supposed to be, and maybe is, this band's version of stoner rock, isn't it?
And so that's why it's so all over the place. There's no like coherence of thought.
That's right. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense, though. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah, but there is logic to it.
And this is a, what should we say, a words reference to the same subject.
Yeah. There is another use. I just thought that, you know, that phrasal verb you got there, shooting up, there is another usage of that, isn't it? Which is like shooting up a shopping mall or shooting up a school.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, so you're shooting up hate, as if, almost as if, like, you're firing bullets of hate, you know, at the population, and nothing beats the rush of that, you know, that's the most exciting thing you can do.
I don't know what the origin was of injecting drugs being referred to as shooting up.
Mm. I mean, the upbeat's obvious, isn't it, for the shoot? I don't know. Although, no, surely that's because if you get an injection, that's called a shot, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the origin of that is either. It's by no means obvious to me that being injected with a tiny needle is the same as being shot.
No, that's true. I'm just trying to think in French. What I know that would be piqué, wouldn't it? Yeah, so like pick like an insect bite, basically.
Yeah.
I wondered if there's something there, but no, there's not.
A prickle from an insect or an injection.
Mm. You can see the link there, can't you?
Yeah.
Because the French use the same word for both, for the needle and like a mosquito bite or something.
Yeah, so I must confess at the moment, I don't know what the origin of referring to taking drugs as being shot is.
Force-fed lies in this chapel of lust. I do like that line, and I do like that kind of almost like vague back reference to haunting the chapel, because it is such a great word.
Yes.
And we discussed at the time, didn't we, that do Americans usually refer to like little abbeys and stuff as chapels? And I think we concluded no. So it's an unusual one for them to choose.
Yeah. I think it's an explicit reference to basically something in England, not even Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell me this. Is chapel not just a British expression?
I honestly don't know. I don't know the answer. No, I don't know.
I know it's used within the Church of England, which suspects me to believe it's not used within anybody else's religion.
No, I think if in French, you'd either have a cathédrale, église, or auberge. They're the three words that would be for kind of religious buildings. And auberge is not just used for religious buildings, but kind of small buildings in general. But it can apply to small religious dwellings, I think. What else have we got? Putrefied walls adorned with your flesh. Again, and that one, Doc, makes me think that perhaps you're correct with your Hellraiser references, because that's Hellraiser as fuck, isn't it?
Yes.
And then coating this shrine of the ungodly cross. Yeah. That kind of goes against my vampire thesis, because can vamps even go into a church?
No, of course they can't.
I wouldn't have thought so, no. But like we said, it is like they're just throwing everything at this and hoping some of the shit lands, aren't they?
I think it's Hellraiser.
Right? Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I'm going to hit you with the last line. Crucify creation, magnify damnation. Enter my mind, can you stop the rage? No one shall mourn or pity my grave. Fighting the world without remorse, searching for blood to never grow old. Absolute reign, a malevolent mind, conception so vile in this bottomless soul. Putrefied walls adorned with your flesh, coating this shrine of the ungodly cross. Now, isn't that interesting? Only those first two lines, crucified creation, magnified damnation anew, and they've just selected a bunch of lines that they've already said in a scattergun method and chucked them together, almost as if they're taking little bits of the different subjects they've talked about and just kind of finished and closed the track out with them.
Well, I'm trying to be generous now. You do this when you're giving a lecture, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
In your last 2 minutes, you refer to every single reference you've made during your lecture.
Mm-hmm.
Dot, 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 dot. Maybe that's what they're doing here, or maybe they're just being lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hey, isn't that an interesting point? Because I've certainly been guilty of this in the past. Writing a track, can't quite think of a last verse, so just sprinkle some of the other fucking lines in there. I've definitely done it.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think we all have. If you believe for yourself that you've had four excellent lines
mm-hmm.
elsewhere in the track that have only been spoken once, and you mm-hmm. damn well want them being spoken again, then your approach is justified.
Yeah.
However, the four lines they've chosen here to repeat are not even the four greatest lines in the song.
Mm. It's eight lines, actually, Doc, because it starts from Enter My Mind, Can You Stop the Rage, right to the last fucking line. So it's those last eight lines are all repeats.
As you know, I always try to justify whatever they do with their lyrics.
Well, your engineer brain in the past has explained to me that it's always more sensible to reuse stuff than try and create stuff from scratch because it's just more efficient.
Yeah.
So from an engineering point of view, it makes sense, doesn't it? But we're not talking about engineering, are we, Doc? We're talking about fucking art.
If you want a justification, it's more Satanist as well.
Mm. Well, go on.
Well, to repeat things
mm-hmm.
until they get through the brain of the person you're trying to convince.
Yeah. It's almost like a form of brainwashing.
Yeah. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Yeah. I am the Lord. I am the Lord.
Let me tell you something, Doc. I think the Catholics do that too. Thy will be done. Yeah. Those weird fucking bits where the priest standing up on the pulpit with his pervert fucking costume on, reading the script, and then the freaks in the congregation know the bits when they chime in.
Oh, does that happen?
Man. Oh, mate, honestly, it's blood curdling, blood curdling, and it happens every Sunday. Blood curdling. Doc, I'm really torn on these lyrics because I think there's some great lines in there. I just think the structure is just all over the place.
Well, it goes back to something that we discussed when we were talking about the music.
Mm.
They haven't put enough effort into refining this track, have they?
No. It is just thrown together, isn't it?
In the music and the lyrics, mm-hmm. there are some good ideas mm-hmm. and there are some good executions.
Yeah.
But they haven't been refined to stand out from the sludge.
No, I tend to agree.
Yeah, as an engineer, the means in which I would criticise this mm-hmm. would be to say it hasn't been polished, it hasn't been refined, it hasn't been...
It needs another two or three passes, doesn't it, basically?
Yeah.
And it definitely needs some fucking practice.
Some sandpaper, we'll say that.
You're right, take off the rough edges. I think you're right. Should we move on to the end, Doc?
Yes, let's.
Welcome to part four of Slatanic Bearcast here. We're just going to give you our final thoughts and summations and discuss anything we might have inadvertently missed along the way. But before we do that, Doc, what am I going to give you? I'm going to give you some fucking deets, aren't I? Writing credits, music by Mr. Hanneman, lyrics by Mr. Hanneman and Mr. King. Gunter set list. This was played zero times. Zero times, Doc. This is getting weird by this point. Because we're now seven tracks in, and I think if memory serves, five of these tracks, they never played live. I know we talked about it last week, so I don't really want to keep banging the drum. I just think it is so fucking peculiar, Doc.
I have another theory.
Yeah, go on.
I have no idea how accurate this is.
Mm-hmm.
We have observed many, many, many strange effects used only once or only for a few seconds.
Ah.
Is it possible that by their own standards, they weren't capable of playing these things live?
I mean, I doubt that, don't you? I mean, surely they can have like a big effects rig, you know, in front of each of them. Or maybe not even in front of each of them, and they're fucking roadies dealing with.
Yeah, I think so too. But I'm raising the question.
Yeah.
I'm raising the question to an attempt at explaining why they didn't play any tracks from their current album.
Yeah.
During that tour.
It is most peculiar. I mean, sure, you know, they're Slayer. They're on album 7. They can afford 10 pedals each, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand where you're coming from. I'm just positing the notion, basically. I get you, Doc. I just find it... I mean, if that's the reason, I think it's the most odd one. According to Loudwire, here we go. And so I'll read... I like this fun game we've devised. I'll read you the... I'll read you the write-up, and then you tell me where you think the writer ranked it out of 119. All right, Doc?
Yes.
1998.
you ask me to guess what the writer's opinion actually is based on their words.
That's right, you got it. 1998, Diabolos in Music was a strange Slayer LP, maybe the closest they ever came to wandering off their righteous thrash path to get lost in the dense woods of metallic experimentation. Which isn't always a bad thing, but it spawned yawns on select tracks like the ponderous Love to Hate, which never quite gets out of its own way to find some blood pumping excitement. Totally agree.
If I had been pushed to spit out my opinion in less than a minute, those are almost those are the exact words that I would have liked to have come up with. I'm not saying I could have come up with them.
No, but you're spot on.
Admiration.
She's absolutely spot on. We've questioned some of her write-ups before, but I think that's absolutely bang on. And I love that bit where she says it threatens to get lost in the dense woods of metallic experimentation. That's a beautiful way to phrase it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Very, very good. So at 119, Doc, where do you think she placed this song?
110.
Oh, you're so close, Doc. It's 116. Yeah. So you're damn close there. I mean, we're getting close to the end. It's clear we haven't really enjoyed this song, but as ever, Doc, we have to pronounce, as you well know. I've already written my score down, as is my wont. So how many glistening, dripping, vile, putrescent swords of Dr. Liquescence you're actually going to hit this one with?
Zero. there's nothing about it that makes me want to listen to it again.
Yeah. It's right, so it's a straight zero from Dr. Liquescence, and I shit you not, Doc, it's getting zero mouldering skulls as well.
Oh my god!
It's getting a double zero. That could be a first. I mean, we'll look into that when we... when we do the album overview, but that sucked, I'm afraid. Yep.
I mean,
double blank.
Justify myself now for 10 seconds.
Yep.
If a song is terrible, then I will, in the future, I will amuse myself or challenge myself or try to understand what I've obviously misunderstood by listening to it again.
Yep.
I feel as though I understand what that thing set out to do. And I heard it, and now I understand it, and now I've heard it, and I don't need to hear it again.
No, I think you're right, Doc. Absolutely fascinating. I think in the past, you've given zeros, and I've given zeros, but I don't think we've both done it at the same time. but we'll explore that when we get to the album overview. All right, that about does it, guys. Don't forget you can contact us on Twitter at Bearcast, on email at satanicbearcast@gmail.com. Join us next time when we'll be talking about the 7th track from Diabolos in Music, which is simply called Desire. You're going to be there, Doc.
I am. I like that title. I'm very interested to see what the band do with that title.
It's intriguing, isn't it? Because it could go in so many directions, couldn't it? You know. But I suspect it's going to be a dark one.
It might be Catholic.
I couldn't. I'll see you next time, Doc. Love you loads.
Yes, you will.